Now, today's Mother's Day, and thank you, moms, for doing what you do. I know that it's not an easy job all the time, and we have made it hard for you, moms. That's our fault. Sometimes it's your fault, too. No, I'm just kidding. But moms have a difficult job, and Mother's Day can be difficult for some people and just glorious for other people. And so I recognize there's some pain associated with Mother's Day for those who have had a struggling relationship with their mom, and I'm thinking of those also who have lost their mother, and they cannot wish their mother a happy Mother's Day, and so we recognize that as well. And then there's others who have always wanted to be a mom and couldn't be. So there's just a lot of stuff tied up with Mother's Day. But here's my prediction, my contention, is that you will not find a more praying group of people than moms. Your moms are praying people because you pray for your children, you pray for the grandchildren, you pray for people who interact with your loved ones. You are a praying people. That's anecdotal. I've just seen it more and more in my career in the church as a pastor. Like, the moms and the grandmas are the prayer warriors of the church, and we honor you with that. And so now we're going to sow seeds of doubt in prayer. No, I really hope not. What we're going to talk about today is prayer. And does prayer actually work? Does prayer actually work? Moms, I'm not trying to blast you for prayer. I think we need prayer, and we thank you for being the prayer warriors of the church. I've had prayer requests that I've prayed for, and it's answered just like that. That's happened before. I've prayed for things, and prayers have just been answered. Anybody else have had prayers just answered, and it's just like, yep, that's it. How about this? You've had them outright rejected. Have you? Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes prayer actually works, and sometimes prayer doesn't work. Like, what's that all about? You know what I mean? Why does it sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't happen? So what we're really saying is this: do the words that are coming out of my mouth or I'm meditating in my head result in a change that actually happens that I'm kind of like working up and trying to get to? So correct me if I'm wrong. Is that's the basis of what we're saying? When does prayer really work? Does prayer actually work? We want to say words out loud that will impact the physical world for change, or the spiritual world for victory. Yes? Okay. So does it actually work? Until it doesn't, right? In June 2020, we got word from one of our friends that his cancer had returned, and the prognosis wasn't good, and the wife said, "We're praying for a miracle." And I was like, "That's the business I'm in. That's what I do." Well, I don't do the miracles, but I pray for them. That's what we can pray for a miracle here. Let's do that. And so I organized. In one weekend, we got like 350 people praying for a miracle for my friend. I like ordered wristbands. I did this whole thing. We raised money, and this thing exploded in an amazing way. And the wife was not happy about any of it because we were trying to be very private. And I was like, "I'm really sorry. It took off on its own. But now we got lots of people praying for you." And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And every time I looked at that wristband, I prayed, and I assumed about 350 other people were also praying and doing the same thing. But as the summer went on, the news kept getting worse and worse. By fall, there wasn't anything medical that anybody was able to do for him. And I was like, "This is where you show up, God. This is it. This is the time. This is where a miracle needs to happen. This is the moment where we know that you can do this." And then on October 24th, I did his funeral. Didn't work. Does prayer actually work? I tell you these things because I want you to know that I genuinely struggle with this question. I wrestle with this. At its core, the words that came out of my mouth failed to deliver the intended outcome of physical change for someone else's reality. Right? We all agreed of what that definition was. And now I'm telling you, it didn't work. Not the way I wanted it to. Do prayers actually work? There's been several scientific studies profiled in Psychology Today that talk about the overall effect of prayer in heart patients before, during, and after surgery. 1,800 patients all told that they might be prayed for. Some were, some weren't, and all had about the same recovery rates. Except 18% of those who were prayed for had further complications to 13% of those who weren't prayed for. Does prayer actually work? That's pretty discouraging. In the 1870s, a study was done on the British royal family. Every worship service in the country included prayers for the royal family at that time. They would have been the most prayed for family, and yet they had the same death rates and average lifespans and all the same health problems as everybody else. Does prayer actually work? So let's take a look in the Bible and see what it says about these kinds of things. James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Other versions say that a little bit differently, such as the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. The ESV puts it in a way we can understand a little bit better. Great power as it's working. But what are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to accomplish with your prayer? If prayer is meant to accomplish something, to do something, what is the thing that you're trying to accomplish with prayer? So I think there's three things that we're trying to accomplish when we go to prayer. And so what we're really asking is this: does prayer change God? That's question number one. Does prayer change God? Question number two, does prayer change circumstances and outcomes, the things that are going on around me? Does prayer change what's happening around me? And then thirdly, I would ask this: does prayer change me? Does prayer change you, yourself? So let's tick these off one by one, and we're going to use Scripture to back it up. Does prayer change God? Anybody? Huh? No. No. This is simple, no. But let's just investigate that a little bit. Shame on us to think that there's some sort of magic incantation that we can utter that would change a holy God who created the universe and is greater than we could ever think of. We can't change the Almighty God. The Bible says in Malachi 3, "For I, the Lord, do not change." James 1 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change." He doesn't change. Numbers 23, "God is not man, that he should lie, nor son of a man, that he should change his mind." God doesn't change his mind. But if you think about some of the stories in the Bible, you might think God has changed his mind on occasion. Have you ever heard of a guy called Jonah? Jonah's a pretty good example of, does God change his mind? God calls Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh to preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Of course, we know the story. Jonah runs away, there's a storm, the ship's going to go down, they throw him overboard, he gets swallowed up by a great fish, he repents, he goes to Nineveh, and he preaches that God was going to smite them in 40 days if they did not repent. But what did they do? They repented. If you don't repent, God will smite you. And then Jonah goes up on the hill to watch the fireworks, and then nothing happens, and he gets real grumpy, and Jonah chapter 4 is all about him being salty about it because it looks like God changed God's mind, and Jonah just wanted to see the destruction. But then Jonah 3:10 says that God looked on their works, that they had repented of their sin. They had turned away from it. The people of Nineveh had turned away from it. So the KJV translates as, God repented of the evil he was going to visit upon them, and he did not do it. That looks like a change of mind for God, because God repented. Repented means turning away from. He turned away from the thing that he was going to do, and he chose to do something different. Did their prayers of repentance change God? That's the big question, because this is what we go to talk about this. In this specific case, the Hebrew word translated as repented also means comforted or eased. So God was comforted by the fact that they turned to him, and therefore he chose not to destroy them. R.C. Sproul says of that passage, when God hangs his sword of judgment over people's heads and they repent, and then he withholds his judgment, has he really changed his mind? The mind of God does not change, for God does not change. Things change, and they change according to his sovereign will, which he exercises through secondary means and secondary activities. The prayer of his people is one of the means he uses to bring things to pass in this world. So, if you ask me whether prayer changes things, R.C. Sproul says, I answer yes. God didn't change, but humans changed their circumstances and their outcome, because it was always an if-then statement for Jonah and for Nineveh. If they don't repent, I will destroy them. That means if they do repent, I won't. There was this if-then statement happening there. All right. Does prayer change God? I would say no. But what about this? Does prayer change circumstances and outcomes for people? And I would say this, it can. It can. I think it can. And the proof of this is actually usually anecdotal. Because countless times I've prayed for people to have healing for this or that, and they experience healing. But I've also prayed for people who stayed sick. So, I don't know. It can. I have to work on what randomness means, you know? Like, how random is that? I don't know. The scientific studies I referred to earlier, I can guarantee you that the loved ones praying for their sick relative or friend, they might see tiny miracles and prayers answered on a small scale in their lives. Prayer can change things incrementally that maybe you can't even see on a grand scale. But then there's also dramatic answers to prayer that are akin to mountains being moved in people's lives. And sometimes that's just what we're looking for. We're looking for the big mountain to be moved. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain to get up and put yourself into the lake. Look at what happened to the people of Israel in the wilderness, Exodus chapter 16. They're out in the wilderness, and they're starting to get hungry and thirsty. You might say they're starting to get hangry, you know. They were like, you brought us all the way out here just to die. At least back in Egypt, we had pots of meat to eat, and we had water to drink. So God provided for them a way out. He provided manna in the morning, every day about the Sabbath. He gave them their daily bread. Jesus calls on that on the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. God provided that for them. God changed the situation for the Hebrew people. 10 years ago, I experienced a change of circumstances for myself. I spent 2 weeks in ICU with a blood clot in my arm and a surgery to remove my rib, and then severe intestinal bleeding or internal bleeding, which led to a collapsed lung and another emergency surgery and kidney failure. All this just mess that happened to me. They gave me about less than 10% chance of survival, and if I did survive, possibility being that I would be on dialysis the rest of my life. And then the prayers of the people went up. And it was over the course of 2 weeks, but good news came and bad news came, and good news, bad news, good news, bad news. But this is where I go. Pastor Jeff Smith told me I was a miracle. I think it takes faith to believe that there was a miracle there. Medically, it shouldn't have happened that way. Parenthetically, Pastor Jeff told me not to waste it. Don't waste your miracle. And I'll come back to that in a minute. God has been in the business of changing outcomes since the beginning. Again and again, we see it in the Bible. All signs pointed to a certain defeat for David facing Goliath. But God changed the outcome. Elijah shouldn't have done what he did. He actually should have been smoked by the prophets of Baal, but God changed the outcome. Gideon should have never gotten as far as he did, but God changed the outcome. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked in the winter. He should have died, but God changed the outcome. That's what God does. God changes outcomes until God doesn't. That's the part that struggles all of us. This is where the deconstructionists go, but wait. But why? How do we answer why God doesn't change an outcome? Too often we take the blame on ourselves and we assume that perhaps our faith wasn't deep enough. If we just prayed a little bit harder, if we just believed a little more strongly, if we just said one more prayer. I can't tell you how many funerals I've done where, especially an untimely death, all the what-ifs come out. What if I had? But if only I had? But what if? And yet, the result is still the same. I think there's a strong case to be made from the teaching of the Bible and from Jesus for persistent and constant prayer. But like I said, you don't change God. The question then becomes, why didn't God change the outcome? Why didn't God intervene in this situation? And then this is where I struggle. So I'm going to be honest here and say, I don't know. I don't know why the outcome has changed for some and not for others. I don't know why we would have a 10-year-old child and a 22-year-old young man die in car wrecks on the same weekend, and yet other crashes happen and nobody dies. I don't know. I don't know why God changes some outcomes and doesn't change some others. It's a mystery that we have of our faith. And mysteries aren't a bad thing, but they are really frustrating. It's difficult. And I would say that the miracles that we've seen in life where there's challenges that come in our way and the circumstances just work out and we associate that with prayer, I'm telling you, that takes faith. It takes that. This is where we have to move from logic of the head to faith of the heart and go, this is where God has come in, and I have faith that God did it before and God will do it again. There are other situations where circumstances did not change for you because you didn't live up to your own responsibility. So I think we are meant to be involved in our own situations. I had a professor one time say, it takes two wings to fly, prayer and a program. It takes prayer and a program. You can pray all you want for certain situations to change, but until you get involved, until you do something about it, nothing's going to change. You have to be involved in it. Not only that, sometimes you are the answer for somebody else's prayer. God works through us, through humanity, to be involved with other people's lives. That's why we're in community with one another. Sometimes we are the prayer request for somebody else. You have to be involved. There's so much more to the Christian life than let go and let God. I'm just going to pray. Let go, let God. You might not be able to change the outcomes of every situation, but you can change the outcomes for most of the things you're praying for. You have to be involved. I do know this, even when God doesn't change an outcome, God does and can change people. And that's the last thing. Can prayer change people? I would say it did me. Now, Pastor Jeff, he said, you're a miracle, man. Don't waste it. One could say that it was medical advances that changed my circumstance so that I could be alive today. You could make the case. If this had happened in the 1950s, I'd have probably died, right? But medicine's come a long way, and I lived, and maybe that's where the miracle is. Maybe it's a miracle of modern medicine. Maybe. But still a miracle. And Jeff said, don't waste it. And so I can tell you that I am not the same person that I was 10 years ago. Prayer for sure has changed me. And I will not for one second stand and say that God causes or allows things to happen so that individuals will change. I don't think God goes, boop, you got a blood clot right now, and you're going to die. No, like, unless, you know. I don't think that God works that way. Some people take comfort in saying everything happens for a reason to explain why this terrible thing has happened to them and inspire them to change. But I just don't think God works specifically that way. God doesn't cause those things or allow those things so that God can teach you a lesson or make you change. I think rather, God can redeem situations so that God's will is accomplished despite terrible circumstances. I think prayer undoubtedly can change people. In fact, I would suggest that that's probably the primary role for prayer. Prayer is meant to be a tool for communication, for communion, for relationship with God. Prayer isn't necessarily supposed to create your wish list. God, okay, here's all the things I want and need. Here's all the situations that you need to change, as if we could manipulate God and we had three wishes from a genie that we could do. God's not like that. Instead, prayer is our relational tool that we have, that we can grow in the knowledge and grace of God. It's a two-way street. As you grow in your relationship with God, it changes you. It doesn't change God. It doesn't always change circumstances, but it can always change you. Thomas Nelson's study Bible notes says this: if we stay faithful to Him and continue to pray, in time, He will bend our will to His. He will work in and through us to change our hearts. He will open our eyes to His work. He will give us the wisdom to recognize the perfection of His plan. And He will loosen our grip on our own expectation. We can see an example of this in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. Jesus knows what He's about to face. He's about to go to imminent arrest, trials, and ultimately death. And He goes with the disciples to pray in the garden. The disciples fall asleep, but He's over there praying, "If it's possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus allowed His expectations to be changed. He allowed His will to be changed to mirror and match the will of the Father. Prayer actually worked. The prayer worked. Same Psychology Today article that I referenced before said prayer was ineffective for physical healing in terms of those numbers and percentages, but it has other benefits. It linked to an International Journal of Psychiatry and Medicine entry that said direct prayer, specifically with another person, showed significant improvement for people with severe anxiety and depression, and it should be considered as adjunct to standard medical care. Hey, you ought to be praying. It's a great way to be in medical care. Start praying, especially with somebody else. Prayer actually works. It can change you. But you have to give it a chance to work. It's vital to your life of discipleship and growth in the image of Jesus. The point is, you have to make special time in a special place so you can communicate with the person at the other end. And we should receive. We should not just talk. We should receive. We should quiet ourselves. We should listen, not just with our ears, but with our hearts, with our understanding. Quieting ourselves so we can actually hear what God is saying to you so you can respond appropriately. I invite the team to come back up. We'll close with a song. Here's what I want to remind us. Prayer doesn't change God. It doesn't change God. It sometimes changes situations, but I think it takes faith for us to believe that. Then you have to have faith that this is how God worked. Like I said, we could say mine was a medical advance. We could say God used medical advances. You know, whatever. It can work, but you have to have faith for that. But it always works to change you to be more like Jesus. And I want to add this one thought. We like to give God credit for the good things in this life. We like to look for miracles. But I'd like to remind us of this. God most often uses people to answer prayers. He uses people and processes to answer prayers. You are the answer to somebody's prayer. You have to be involved in your own prayer. And also, God works through the creative order to answer prayers. God already designed the system. And there's an Eden strategy to all of it, that it all should be working out, and it should be working well. Prayer is an integral part of the Jesus follower's life. And I would encourage you to pray, to listen to God, to build your relationship with God. Don't use your prayer time as your laundry list of things that you want God to do for you, but rather listen to God and encourage yourself in your own relationship with God through prayer. Let's pray now. God, we confess that we've probably not always used prayer properly. We've probably expected you to do more than what you have we should expect you to do, or that you've even promised us to do. And sometimes we get angry because you don't answer a prayer the way we want it to be done, or it takes too long, or this prayer request never worked out right. Help us to be patient with those things. Help us to understand that you have a certain role that you play in our lives, and we have a role to play in our own prayer life. And so, God, as we consider these words and we understand maybe a little better or a little differently about prayer, we ask, Lord, that you would just work in us. We'll call out to you. We say we need you, that we confess that we can't do this life on our own. We need you. We want you part of our lives, but help us to be involved as well. We're not going to just let God. We're going to be involved in it. So we ask, Lord, to guide us. We need you to guide us. We pray this.